Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Today it's just Jack and I, Gwen. We'll be doing the week in review. And Jack, what stuck out to you the most this Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, I want to wish everybody a happy post-Thanksgiving. Now we will concern ourselves with the upcoming holidays of the year, the Christmas and New Year's holidays. But at any rate, I went across town to some relatives for Thanksgiving, and we had a nice dinner and stuff. And I normally don't mention politics at all with those people, because they're working class people who should be strongly Democratic, but they got soiled by this abortion bug, and they think every Democrat is way pro abortion, and we're pro life, and so they like Trump. And so I just mentioned in passing to my cousin, I just said, I can't stand this Trump guy. And I should have kept my mouth shut. She didn't go into a big tirade like I thought she would, but at any rate, no, she just said, well, no, you don't like him? Oh, I like him a lot. And God, there is no hope there, honey. I'm sorry. But at any rate, yeah, so I extricated myself from that argument as quickly as I could, and overall had a pleasant time.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, you know, it's about having gratitude for what we do have. And it's pretty hard not to have gratitude for something in our lives as Americans, for many of us. But it used to be most of the country had something to be grateful for, and now it's more or less maybe half the country. And this is a buildup of policies and compromises made over the years. But, you know, I was talking to my goddaughter today, and I said, you know, Republicans since Nixon have been nothing but corrupt. And, their biggest challenge has been, I mean, there's a few Republicans who have gone in with you know, the right integrity for the office, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, and everybody likes to chime in, yeah, look at John McCain. And it's like, well, do you remember the banking and saving the loan debacle
scandal
he got himself into?
Right.
That scandal. He seemed to learn and grow through that, though. He
did, yeah, that's true.
He shifted his whole direction after that, after wangling out of it. But there's always been compromises made, and that's the thing that this week the White House had to publish. Basically a climate change report that says, you know, you're shit out of luck, fellas. Goodbye, nice knowing you, basically.
Right.
And there is no room for compromise. There's no room for wrangling. And
Trump was asked about it. He was going somewhere in passing, and I saw it on TV. He was asked about it, and disputed it. I can't remember how he did it, but you know how he sidesteps stuff, and he's still a climate change denier. So,
well, it plays to his base. You know, basically anything the guy says is a lie. So,
oh yeah, everything. I've never seen anything like it.
You don't know what I mean. He doesn't open his mouth that lies don't come out. I noticed that a lot of the media is taken up the story about Ivanka's emails.
Yeah.
And it's another BS story.
Typical hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You know, Trump
was
all over Hillary for using her emails for private email use and all that stuff, and supposedly exposing confidentiality to the public.
Which Which she didn't,
which was a big lie anyway. And Ivanka does the same thing, and she's the president's daughter. We can't make too much noise about that, although a few reporters did mention it, so that was good.
Well, basically what he said was she was a newbie and that she made a few mistakes, so pass.
Yeah, right.
And it's bullshit. And
she's a grown. She's in her 30s, for Christ's sake. She's not a kid, and she should know better. If it's that bad of a deal, which I don't think it is, but nothing confidential leaked out. So what the hell is the big buzz about? Except for the fact that her father raised hell about it beforehand. You would have thought he would have taken the time to train his daughter.
Well, the difference in it is that Hillary Clinton perhaps had given out, you know, had passed an email that had substance in it because she was a woman of substance.
Right.
Ivanka, on the other hand, is nothing but a greed peddler.
She's a bimbo.
Who's doing nothing but making deals with foreign governments for profiteering on her own items for sale.
Exactly.
So basically there's a big difference there, and that would be the biggest one. Now, Hillary Clinton went through a huge process of going through with her attorney and with the attorney general every one of her emails that had gone through the private service. She actually did pay a fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat through hearings on it. So,
you
know,
I remember
bite me. And the other part about it is that if you put Ivanka Trump in front of a congressional, which could happen to her for this, because now Democrats have the ability to call her into task.
Oh, I hope they do. Boy, Trump, her dad will hit the wall when he finds out about that.
She wouldn't make it an hour in front of the
question. No, he wouldn't. But he'll raise complete holy hell if Ivanka gets called before a Senate subcommittee subcommittee.
None of them. And believe me, I think they're going to be called down, and they'll probably ignore it, and there'll probably be
they'll
sheriffs
blow it off,
and
they'll plead
Savina.
The fifth if they do show up.
Basically, there's going to be a whole lot of hoo-ha over all of this. And the Congress is able to recommend indictments, and they probably will, but then you've got a puppet sitting in their chair, and all these indictments will go, you know, unserviced. Well, here's the other part about that,
and then he'll pardon them all if they, you know, it's such
first
a vicious
all,
circle.
First of all, he shouldn't be in office that long. Second of all, these indictments. The Democrats hold hearings. They should be public. They should be public. And third, once these hearings and investigations get underway, it's going to be, even if they go behind closed doors, Jack, I think that, quite frankly, the greatest part about it is, you know, somebody's going to flip all this information, handheld, every folder over to the press.
Let's hope so.
Well, you can't think any other way, because it's just incredible not to. And all of that because there's the presidential election now on the burner.
Right. And with as absolutely thoroughly corrupt as Trump is, that'll be even more impetus for the Congress, the Democratic side of it at least, to push forward as much information as they can, because you know, Trump, he just wants to do everything his own damn way and to hell with everybody else. And
he just wants to profit.
Oh, exactly, and make money off it. And as long as it's his family or something, he'll look the other way gladly, and he'll attack the accusers. It's a predictable thing with this guy. He's a very thin-skinned, weak man who portrays himself as a big, tough guy, and he's anything but.
He gets over because he overspeaks people in the media and on air. And basically, if he has to come up to a one-on-one, he loses, like he lost the debate. But the thing is, there aren't many people out there that they're putting on the table to run against him that can handle correctly his kind of bullshit. And yeah. there's only been one, in my opinion, who has handled it in the last term of elections and handled it deftly, and that was Beto O'Rourke.
Yes, right, yeah.
If he were running, I would vote for him in a minute.
In a heartbeat, no doubt about it. I don't think he will. He hasn't even gained political
so
office
sure.
yet to speak of, a national political office.
He's a congressman.
Yeah, but
he's
I mean,
back in Congress.
Well, but that's national, but it's regional too, because it's tied to a certain district in Texas. But you know, he hasn't reached senatorial status or anything like that, although he came very close. But that's all right. You know, we've elected presidents from the House before, and we should and
yeah.
can do it again.
He's a Democrat congressman from the state of Texas. He has
right.
all the, and he has a lot of donors that want to pony up money to him right now
right.
too.
Right.
And he doesn't do it that way. He does it a different way. And,
right.
You know, I guess he took a big page from Bernie Sanders. Personally, I've watched the table talk today about the 2020 runners.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kamala Harris is everybody's prize baby. I doubt very seriously if she could handle Donald Trump better than Hillary did. I doubt that seriously. She doesn't have the kicks. Or experience, but she's.
But she also doesn't have the enemies that Hillary had. Hillary had
no.
a lot of enemies that hated her, everything she did, and they just despised her ridiculously.
Years. Yeah, the Republicans hated her, but then there's the only woman I think capable of filling the office and rebuilding the country with effort and speed. And doing it right is Elizabeth Warren. She knows her stuff.
Right.
She knows
yeah.
how to get it done. Look what she's done for what she did do for the financial community in a short
oh,
space
yeah.
of time. But then they're talking about Joe Biden, which too old, too white.
Too old, yeah.
He's a nice guy, sure. But I don't forget who he was when Anita Hill sat in front of him. Not for
right.
1 minute do I forget that. Nor do I forget that he was a senator from the state of Delaware who was basically a corporate bagman for many of them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I, you know, you're looking for – there's been such a beautiful shift, Jack. There's
oh, the progressives have really,
shift.
Really nailed down a lot of Democratic candidates who were elected. That's great.
Have you been watching? Well, you don't pay attention to social media, but if you did, you'd know that Alexandria Ocasio
out of New York.
Yeah, she is documenting on Instagram with little videos her whole trip, her whole experience of coming to D.C. and becoming
cool.
The grand stuff and the personal moments all on Instagram, these little snippets like, less than a minute long, and it's wonderful. It's
yeah, that's good.
Wonderful. She's got millions of people following her,
and she's gotten a certain amount of media recognition for her efforts. They've mentioned her several times on the news, and it's good to see.
Well, it's because she's big in the social, you know, in the stream, in the
well,
trending.
Well, she's a progressive,
stream.
And that's great. And she's speaking up,
yeah.
and that's great.
Yeah, well, you know, then there's this thing that's been going on down in Mississippi. There's a runoff race for senator
yeah.
between that Hyde White broad and
oh, she's horrible.
Mike Espy. I mean, Espy. And he's playing it cautionary.
Yeah,
which I... You know, I don't know the state of Mississippi that well. I've spent some time there. I've driven through. I wouldn't
It's pretty red.
Yeah. It's also got a lot of Civil War territory in it, and
oh,
it's
yes.
haunted as hell. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just
oh,
going to
yeah.
leave that one there. It can be real dark energy in Mississippi.
Yeah.
A lot of old trees that hung with strange fruit.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so... It's got a lot of negative energy there, and it's collective around the Republican Party right now. But I think that it could be surprising that.
That would be, I would dance for joy if SB were to defeat that Hyde Smith woman. She has a mouthy mouth that is very, very vile. I can't stand the sight of her.
Yes,
she's an idiot besides that. She's just a loudmouth, dumb bitch.
Yeah, like that broad from North Carolina, the other batshit broad that was always hanging around in the pictures and stuff with glasses on. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen when Mueller begins to turn over documents and perhaps throw down, because he has to have these indictments okayed, doesn't he? Or can
I
he
think
just
so.
Issue?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not quite sure how that works. I'm quite confident he's going to be issuing more subpoenas, which will be just fine. And everybody wants him to, or so many people want him to end this, get it done with. And no, leave no stone unturned. Let's expose all this shit, and let's expose it for what it is. Pure shit. That's all it is. And let's do it, and let's do it as much as we can. And let's just expose thoroughly the complete rottenness of this horrible administration and all its sidewinders that hang around it and hangers-on and contribute to it and all that stuff. These people are as corrupt, and they're pathetic. They're terrible people.
They're selfish.
It's very self-centered, you bet.
Well, there's the majority of people out here, especially left-leaning folks and progressives, are pardon me. excuse me. I'm sorry, Jack. They're very anxious to see what he has to offer, what he has to put on the table, because a lot of people are feeling very, very frustrated, politically frustrated, countrywide frustrated. The emotional level of the country is after this huge blue wave. A lot of people are very happy with that, but the frustration level over Trump and his people and what he's doing. Look, we had romaine lettuce that was not checked because of Trump rolling back Obama
regulations,
and people are sick with this
getting
E. coli.
Sick. Yeah,
really sick.
Yeah,
and that
can be deadly. So that's why they made a big announcement on TV to stay away from romaine lettuce, because it can be very deadly. It can be very, very make you very sick.
This is just one of a number of foods that have come out this year after his rollback. I mean, somebody has got to get back in that office and rebuild this country in a short piece of work, or, you know, it's...
Or the life we've enjoyed and known over the past 50 years is going to go straight down the tubes, thanks to Trump's nonsense and this Republican obsession with getting rid of regulations. They think every regulation is evil. It's not. It's there for everybody's protection. It's not there to drain profits off of corporations. It's insane, that attitude.
Well, and they know that. And so do most of the people who are voting for them. They just think the greed's going to trickle down into their pocketbooks, which it never has and never will.
That is naivety to the max.
You know.
it's out there. I agree.
Yeah, it's just greed.
I did something earlier today that I just never do. And I don't know why it happened, just probably because I had the station on. I was looking at the local Fox affiliate, and I actually watched about 45 to 50 minutes of Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And Chris Wallace, I think, is kind of a blowhole, but by and large, he was trying to be neutral and not be over-propagandistic, unlike the rest of the Fox squad, you know. He and Shep Smith, I think, are okay in that regard, but by and large, I don't care for Chris Wallace that much. He's nothing like his father. And so he had Corey Lewandowski on there, who was a big Trump campaign guy, And some other guy that I didn't know, his last name was Bossy. I don't know who he is, David Bossy or something. I don't know anything about him, but he was affiliated with Trump,
God.
Too.
Oh, my God, you do know who he was. He's the one who was dogging the Clintons and trying to set them up for scandals and got caught at it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and they were both spouting off this bullshit. It just normally when I see this shit, I immediately change the channel by that. Well, one time I'll sit through this nonsense, and it's all this left-wing conspiracy bullshit, which is, there aren't a bunch of people on the left that are sitting around conspiring to overthrow the government. That is such fantasy. I don't know where these people come up with this nonsense. They're paranoid is what it is. And you could just see in their eyes, they have these wild eye looks in their eyes. And these guys are fanatics. They're wacko. So I sat through that shit and I thought, you guys are sick. And they are.
Well, it's just a tool. But most of these people understand they're spouting lies, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a tool of manipulation. It's basically
Well, that's what
not
Fox News is.
Non-
it's a propaganda organ of the Republican Party, you know, the far right.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
So now I've had my my 4 or 5 year dose of Fox News. So unless there's a radical change, I'm not gonna watch again. But I thought I'd owed it to everybody just to watch part of one show, and it fit the bill, you know.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from.
But you know, when anybody comes up with this left wing conspiracy, this wide left, they make it sound like a big monster. It's insane. And I am not naive. I know I have a good grip on what's happening politically and socially and economically in this country. And there's no such thing as a bunch of dedicated left wingers sitting around plotting out things to go against Trump and against conservatives. And it's not there. It's not in their nature. That's not the kind of people they are. So it's insane for these guys to come up with this vast left-wing conspiracy nonsense. When they talk like that, I immediately go, you guys are nuts. I don't even pay attention.
Well, it's just tools, and the only reason that Fox is there is to, you know, gin it up for the MAGAs. I guess they call them the MAGAs now. It's no longer even just Republicanism. It's the MAGA party.
Mm-hmm.
But it
MAGA
should be
party.
Called, it should be called Republicanism because that's what it is. That's what Republicanism has become.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one person in D.C. under the title of Republican right now I have any kind of respect for.
No, and that's you know, where are the Howard Bakers of the world, of the Watergate era? Where are these people? And for that matter, where are the conservative Democrats that had a light of truth and honesty in their possession, like Sam Ervin? I mean, they don't make them like that anymore. They switch to the Republican Party, a lot of those guys. And they're just not – they don't exist anymore. And that's a real tragedy that we've encountered that.
I agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? The only thing you can really do is work your side of the street.
Right. That's what we're doing.
There was a New Yorker article that came out a while back about comparing Kaiser Wilhelm II to Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And it really is kind of scary.
Well, yeah, he was an old right guard guy, too, you know, old guard right winger.
He was
in Germany.
He was just a bad-tempered, destructible, kind of an idiot.
Well, that's Donald Trump for you.
Yeah. Under him, the government of Germany began to squabble with itself over things that never mattered before because of his innuendo, his insults. And he acted just like Donald Trump does.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And it ushered in.
That was exactly 100 years ago today, or this year we won that war, that World War One, and he was at the head of Germany for that war. And 100 years ago, since he was defeated, and I just wonder in 100 years from now what they'll be saying about Donald Trump and the way the Republicans have really fallen off the edge of the cliff politically.
History will despise them, but that is there is a history, you know.
Yeah, right. If we have one.
That's a very real concern right now, is whether or not we do have the history. But the beat goes on. Our friend Ron over at on Facebook posted on his page today a piece on Ann Coulter and Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Two of my least favorite women in the whole world.
I don't even call them that. I don't call them any of the cuss words either. I just leave it blank. But their racism and nativism their willingness to start a war with Mexico is ridiculous.
Well, that's because they won't have to fight in it. And they're so coy, and they think they're so on top of it, and they're so ignorant. It's just unbelievable. I have despised Ann Coulter for years. All she can do is insult people and do it in a snide, mocking tone. I have no respect for her whatsoever. Absolutely none.
Well, nobody really does outside.
She has her followers, but they're few and far between. Not in my circles, that's for damn sure.
Well,
I'm not a flaming liberal out there conspiring to defeat Trump and you know, do away with conservatism. That's not me.
She's the neo-Nazi pinup girl.
Exactly.
And basically, the neo-Nazis are the ones who buys her books.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And that scholars, you know, or press people who have to find out what's been, you know.
Oh yeah, they dismiss her very quickly.
Well, not Fox News.
Oh yeah, well. Yeah. You're talking about advanced, knowledgeable press people. That doesn't exist at Fox News. That's just a propaganda arm pushed by Rupert Murdoch of the Republican Party, the far-right Republican Party.
Yeah, well, and these guys are criminal instigators. They're instigating people to basically, they're asking the U.S. government to invade a country that's not done anything to us.
Right.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
And who was a partner and an ally.
Yeah.
But is no longer a partner and an ally.
Right.
You can't call them that. I was wondering if you heard about the fellow who, John Alan Chu, who decided to take his work to a remote island off of Miramar, island, which is part of the Andaman Islands. And it's one of the homes of the only remaining undisturbed tribal cultures in the world.
Got killed, didn't he, or something?
Yeah, Indian law forbids individuals from visiting the island due to the history of hostile and violent exchanges with
the
French.
That's right. Yeah, I did hear about him. Yeah.
So he wanted to bring Jesus to him. They,
yeah,
they,
he was doing missionary work, and he was actually a little bit afraid to do it, but he went ahead and pushed ahead anyway, and it cost him his life, unfortunately. And that's the way it goes when you go into those parts.
It was an attempt at colonization. You know, we should never forget one really important factor, that it was under the Holy See, during the Spanish Inquisition, that the word racism became a viable word, because it was the Vatican that created a classification of people due to skin color. Did you know that, Jeff?
I suspected as much. Yeah, it makes sense. But the Reformation should have taught them something I don't know if it has, but
it
caused them to pull their neck in a little bit. Although there have been incidences like Pope Pius the 12th during the World War II era was a kind of a closet supporter of Nazi Germany, and because they were anti-Jewish, and you know, it's bubbling under the surface a lot, and every once in a while it pops out, and that's bad.
Yeah, basically what it boils down to is the notion that patriarchy has, you know, the best ideals for humanity, and that's just a black mirror, staring into a black mirror, you know. And here's this guy who goes over, and who knows, gosh only knows, he maybe had real goodness and sweetness in his heart, but he goes over there. That's colonization. And
well, you know, I'm not so quick to brand it quite as much as you are on that regard, and here's the reason why. I can't say one guy, if he had went over there with a whole team, I'd feel a little more inclined to do that. But he was a misguided, good, well-intentioned, but misguided Christian evangelical kind of fellow that thought he'd go spread Jesus around and convert people. And I'm sure he had good motives. I don't think he was, his main desire was to colonize and trap those people politically, you know, culturally or socially or any other way.
I don't think that a lot of the priests that went out and colonized had that intention at heart, but that's what they achieved. And organizations,
that's what they achieved, yeah, that's true.
Organizations that have been dedicated to protecting this tribe, because they're the only ones in the world, they are concerned now that his contact with the tribe may lead to their extinction. And, I mean, that's bad. That is 60,000 years the Sentinelese have inhabited that island. 60,000 years. And because
wow.
of the limited contact, we know very little about their real culture, their unique culture, or even anything about their language. But we gave them their birth, you know, wide
right.
birth. And it's just a horrifying thing, because when you think about it, these people live in ecological harmony with their island, and they serve as an example of what we have failed to do.
Yeah, that's definitely a realistic way of looking at it, because and it's an interpretation that all too many of us would just ignore, because we like to think we're always the best and we have good nature and we have the best intentions toward everybody, but we really don't. We're a profiteering group of bandits is what we are in many cases, and it's unavoidable.
Yeah. Well, they've suffered through tsunamis and all kinds
yeah.
of weather. And in the past, like even the British government would fly helicopters over to see if they needed any assistance after that huge tsunami hit. And they greeted the helicopter, you know, with a bunch of spears and arrows and said, get the hell
sure.
out.
Yeah.
And
they probably thought it was the evil spirit descending on them from the sky or something. Who knows what they were thinking? All they knew is that it wasn't one of theirs. And, you know, I guess you can't really fault people that haven't been exposed to it really for that attitude or wanting to maintain what they've got, and they're suspicious of anything out there. Look at what our Republican Party does. they take much the same attitude toward to people that aren't just like them.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. There are many indigenous communities. You've heard about immersion schools. They're the schools that indigenous communities, especially in North America, the Indians, the different tribes have set up communities or schools that are total immersion in ancestral ways and learning the language again. And what is so beneficial about these? And all cultures should actually, in my opinion, be doing this, because they're learning how to ecosystems is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
How to plant, rotate crops. I mean, look at what the Maya
achieved.
Great.
Yes.
Down
yeah.
in Guatemala.
And they did it without our technology or our help in any regard.
But I do think that we make a mistake when we think that ancient civilizations and cultures were not as advanced as we were. I think
in some
they were
ways they were maybe even more advanced.
More advanced. Yeah, the laptops were in their heads. And they used phonics, and yeah, everybody thinks that standing stones throughout the Western and part of Eastern Europe, all of these monoliths and such are some kind of, you know, ancient calendars and stuff. But the Trahelians, they go several feet into the ground. They're hummers. They are like the tuning forks of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And they do hum, and they hum when different weather cycles come up. And, you know, our ancestors knew a hell of a lot more than we did. And basically, we really need to learn those lessons because, you know, we got a report this week that even the White House had to put out that
yeah.
says, you know, you're screwed, honey. And
yeah, it says we got to slam on the brakes with what we're doing, polluting the air and using carbon-based fuels and stuff. It's just we're destroying the climate, and they've demonstrated already that we've had nine inch increase in the sea level.
In water sea level, and it is the seas that are most in trouble with the pollution.
Yeah, and
the
North Pole is going to be water over here pretty soon, and it's all caused by humans and our use of fossil fuels and stuff.
Yeah, well, and what we've put into the sea and taken out of the sea too.
Right, plastic
and
crap and
that's got a huge effect, and it's pretty scary to look at. Never mind the politics, you know, one thinks of all the dystopian features that are making a play right now on our screens when we sit down to, you know, basically enjoy some quiet time. We watch a movie, we're watching either superheroes or dystopian, you know, scenarios about who's going to be the pirate kings of the new earth, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not so far away. I think of H.G. Wells, you know what I mean?
Oh, he was, you know, he was a socialist. And he wrote some very, very thought-provoking
Free Love was his
books.
Idea. He was the author of Free Love.
Yeah. And
he
The
was
Time Machine was a very notable book, about a guy that the late 1800s invents a time machine, and he visits the far future, and he's astounded by what he sees, and he sees that people they're not working anymore, they're taken care of, and they're actually being bred and fed by an offshoot of the of humanity, which was called the Morlocks, and what
the
they
Morlocks,
do is they bred and fed these people, and then they'd eat them. They were cannibals.
Yep.
So at first when he got out there, he thought, wow, he said communism is what he thought. He thought it was communism. They had achieved pure communism where everybody was well cared for and had plenty of stuff. But the more he looked, the more he saw that they were being, you know, bred and fed and slain, you know?
He had deep awareness of the human condition.
He really did. Thanks for bringing him up. That's very true.
Well, not only him, but look at guys like Jules Verne,
you know? Yeah, right.
And right now we have writers and filmmakers who are basically giving us a lot of storytelling that is plausible, very plausible. Of course, the most positive parts of these movies and stories that are going on are basically revivals of the hero story, but there's quite a few that think that alien intervention, other extraterrestrial intervention, is the savior of the whole thing. I kind of think it's just us in the future coming back to the past to say,
well,
wait,
what we have to work with now, we really don't know, and we can only suppose. And that's what I think a lot of these writers are doing under the guise of science fiction and this obsession with aliens and stuff. You know, if an alien came to Earth, I'm sure there'd be some Republican somewhere to want to kill it right away. Because it wasn't like us, you know.
I'll give you one better, Jack. There are aliens driving by every now and then. I mean, you know, I grew up in the middle of the Devil's Triangle here. But
yeah.
I will tell you this. I think aliens are coming by, and they just sort of speed up going by us. You know, it's like, let them be.
Get us out of here, yeah. You never know. Well, if they're very intelligent like they would have to be to make it here to our planet, I'm sure they could surmise very quickly how really screwed up we have made this world, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I don't think that I have never thought that we are alone in the universe ever.
Oh,
even
no.
Our Pope, even Francis says we're not alone.
Right.
There's just
there's
no scientific way. I mean, but you do have to wonder what's going on out there beyond, you know, perhaps Mercury in the looking glass that
well the vastness of the universe. It's just, you know, amazing. It's not like you can hop, skip, and jump over to the next planet and see civilizations. I mean, the nearest star system away from our sun and our solar system, it's over 4 light years away. And a light year is the amount of space light travels in a year. And light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Now,
I know.
Bring that out over a year, and good God, that's a long, long ways out there. And that's the nearest one.
Yeah, I just don't think that we're considering travel as it's actually done.
At
MIT, they're actually shooting ball bearings into other dimensions now.
Yeah,
so
that's amazing, isn't it?
It's scary is what it is.
Well, it is, because we don't know how to control it, and we don't know what to do with it, and we don't know what we're doing when we open up those dimensions.
Right. It's like, oh, my God, here we go with the Lovecraft and Cutlass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You open a doorway, and you just don't know. And then there's the multiverse situation where there's a mirror universe.
Mm-hmm.
What if they're throwing balls into MIT on the other side? What was the name of that show I love so much? Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mirror side. But it's interesting to think about, especially as we grow closer to such crisis with our ecology.
Sure.
And what's going on. It's frightening out there. And we've got people like Donald Trump in the Oval Office. And
well, those are the people who have said no to further knowledge, and they're not curious anymore. They don't want to know. They want to keep everything under their control, and that's a huge frailty. And you know, we've got to overcome that. We cannot just look at the rest of what we don't know and condemn it immediately. We've got to look at it with an inquiring kind of mind. We just can't automatically assume that it's bad or evil or not worth our time, because it may be something that would be completely revolutionary that would greatly benefit our life here and now. But if we say no to it all the time, we're never going to realize that.
There, since we've been on the air, there is breaking news that...
What did Trump do now?
A U.S. Customs and Border Protection closed a section of the southern border with Mexico on Sunday and fired tear gas at a group of migrants that tried to breach a fence separating the two countries.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
On the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Trump will make big noise out of this now, too. Oh, they're invading us. It's an invasion. You know,
Well, of course, I have to say that the only place it's breaking right now that I can see is the New York Post.
Yeah.
But, good Lord. You know,
so some hungry and tattered refugees are trying to scale a wall, and we're firing tear gas at them, and that constitutes a menacing invasion, I guess, huh? God help us all. What the hell's wrong with this country that we follow leaders that believe in this shit?
I this is really
just, it boggles the mind.
Yeah. There was one other thing that that interested me this week too. That idiot Roger Stone seems to be headed for a fall.
I hope he's heading to jail. He and Trump both should be in jail.
He is a real sicko.
Oh, he's disgusting.
But it seems like they've got some, you know,
evil incarnate.
They've got some pretty good information on him because they've indicted or they recalled his buddy there, who now says he's going to be indicted. And,
of course he.
Yeah, and.
Boy, a lot of these guys have crawled out from under rocks in the last couple of years. Isn't it amazing that they're out there all the time and they never popped forward and we never paid attention to them until all of a sudden now they're just flooding out everywhere, and it just makes you wonder if we're just malignant with these scoundrels, you know?
Well, they're all part of the rat fucker squad from the Nixon era, you know that, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yep.
Some of the worst of the worst that and it just boggles my mind that these guys who have gotten sentenced are getting like a year in jail. What's that about? You know, you do political crime, you do treasonous work, and you get a year in jail.
Yeah, and I hope it's at hard labor. We haven't heard much about that, but I hope it's at hard labor. I hope it breaks your damn back.
I doubt it too.
But you know, jail is no cornucopia of good things. It's not a place to celebrate. You go in there and you're forced to toe the line, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't argue back. You just got to do what they tell you or else.
It depends on the jail you're in, doesn't it?
Well, but even the ones that they say are elegant, they're not elegant. You don't have your run-of-the-mill freedom and all that stuff. It's not like
El Chapo, and
you can just have everything at your disposal. That's not the way it is.
Well, the judge ruled in New York State's lawsuit against Trump Foundation is going to proceed. So
good.
There's some hope there. I mean, the guy absolutely broke the law.
Well, he's a con man. He's a scoundrel, and all he uses out for money, your money, my money, everybody else's money, as long as it's not his money.
Well, you know, they have the paperwork that shows that he used the foundation for charities
to
settle business disputes and to support his campaign for presidency.
It was a charity for his money, for himself, not for anybody else.
Yeah. I wondered what you thought of his Thanksgiving call to the troops.
His what?
Thanksgiving call to the troops, to the military.
Oh, you know, that is so disgusting. And it was all just a big blowhole show to attract people to the voting booths so that they would vote Republican, and it backfired on him like everything else he's tried to do has backfired on him, and he's got all this invasion talk and all this nonsense. And Christ, all it was a bunch of refugees that were desperately fleeing crappy conditions in their homeland and hoping to get access here in the States. They weren't carousing our border and knocking down fences down and trying to get over it en masse. It wasn't. He made it sound like we were getting loaded over by howitzers and stuff, but that's not what it was. It's a distortion.
Well,
it was based on fear.
Well, and all he did was talk about himself.
Yeah.
The whiny little bitch. That's all he ever does.
That's
all
right.
He ever tweets is the whiny little bitch.
Yeah, he's a disgusting man. Little man-child is what he is.
I can't imagine that the military especially the rank and file, have any respect for him in the largest degree.
The generals
certainly don't. General worth his salt, any one of them with integrity, has got to be going, we've got to get rid of this man.
Well, are all these thousands of troops that were moved down at the border needlessly, and they were kept away from their families. They weren't guaranteed leave. They weren't able to go and spend Thanksgiving holiday with their families. Instead, they had to go sit and do nothing down and play tiddlywinks down at the border. It's just disgusting.
It is.
It's a rampant abuse of power, and it's just it borders on a crime against humanity. Really, it really does.
It does. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, what have you got posted this week?
Burr just sent me a brand new one. Burr was off for about a week, which was fine. He needs a little break once in a while, but he sends podcasts, and he's got one right now about what we were just discussing about how Trump has misused the troops and sent them down to basically collect seashores along the shore and do nothing of any worthwhile action, just wasting time, wasting money, wasting resources, and wasting people's times. So that's gonna hit now. It'll be hitting right now later on tonight, and it'll be dated for Monday. And then I've been posting about I did a piece on this MBS guy who is a bunch of BS, really, as far as I'm concerned. He's the guy that the CIA, Trump denies this, of course, because he denies his intelligence sources all the time. But this guy, the new crown prince of Saudi Arabia, he's the guy that ordered this murder of the Khashoggi, that poor reporter that got all carved up and basically just murdered in Istanbul where it was in Turkey. Yeah.
Did you see? Who was it? I'll get it for you here. It was absolutely fabulous. Couldn't believe, I saw it was the Hawaiian Senator Tulsi Gabbard, representative. I'm sorry, she eviscerated
Corona or whatever. Maisie.
No, Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah, she's great too.
She eviscerated Trump on Twitter. she said, "Hey, at the real Donald Trump, being Saudi Arabia's bitch is not America first."
And he keeps talking about, he keeps talking about $400 billion they're not ordering $400 billion for delivery from our factories. That's insane. A lot of people have said it's actually close to $110 billion. It's still a lot of money, but regardless, Trump makes it seem like they're the be-all and end-all of our world trade. That's insane. Oh, and yes, he congratulated them on dropping their gas prices. Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, it's
disgusting.
What he's saying is that American morality, American values, American ideals, this exceptionalism that the Republicans claim is for sale, baby. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it always has been to a Republican. Always.
Right.
So, that's. If a Republican's in office, whose bitch are they? That's basically.
Well, you've seen Trump on the campaign trail a few years ago. I've seen this broadcast many, many times. He's talking in front of one of his crowds and his rallies and all this stuff, and he's talking about, do I not like the Saudis? No, they buy all kinds of things from me.
They spent
$40 and $50 million from me. Do I not like Saudis? No, I like the Saudis. The guy's a jerk. Everything's for him and his money.
Well, and it's very basically right there on the damn podium, and everybody's looking at it, and you got to choose for yourself. We're at the end of the hour.
Good God. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Tell people where they can find your post, darling.
Yeah. Go to www.jodell, that's J-O-D-E-L-L, 53.com. My My post, my site is called The Saturday Afternoon Post, and I post on it at least twice a week, and sometimes three, depending on what's going on in the world. But I don't have the time to do it daily, but if I could, I would. And at any rate, I do it twice a week, and it's I always research my stuff. I just don't take hearsay and throw it on the screen there. But so at any rate, it's always well researched and it's always thought provoking, and it's I've been doing it now for 10 years, so I've just had my 10th anniversary. So we're gonna keep it going.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to remind everybody that one of the sponsors of our show, besides Saturday Afternoon Post, is Daughters of Isis, an online community, an online site, which is mine, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. It's essential oils of flower essences that go into the expression of all our different cultures. And today, through tomorrow midnight, there is a 30% Cyber Monday discount right now going on. So if you're interested, go on over and check it out. Some white sage mist or sweetgrass and white sage and dragon's blood and money. Go on over. You'll get a huge discount this evening. So
yeah, I've used some of Gwen's stuff that she produces, and it's very, very good smelling and very pure and very, very earthy. So please, by all means, visit Daughters of Isis Incorporated and go to their website and take a look around, and definitely buy something. Great gifts for the holidays and stuff too. So
thank you very much, Jack.
You got
we'll
it.
Be back. We will be back next Sunday with Here Be Monsters Radio, the Sunday show, and tune in tomorrow night for Come Now, Don't Sulk with Sybil Bunchen. You want to sign us off as you usually do, Jack?
What's that?
Do you want to sign us off as you usually do?
Yes, I want to urge everybody to keep pushing forward. Just don't accept what Fox News tells you because it's false. It's a lie. You know, get on Google and look around and poke your nose around a little bit and experiment and look at things, you know, research stuff. Don't take what you're fed automatically on the TV as being always right, because a lot of times it's not. So at any rate, keep pushing forward. We can't go backwards any further. There are forces out there trying to push us backward, but we're not going to do that. We're going to resist it all the way.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Okay, we'll be back next Sunday with Wayne and whoever we get for guests. And want to remind you to take care out there. Be safe. Don't let the bullies win, please. Anyways, this has been The Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio with Jack Jodell and myself, Gwen Berry. That's our show for this evening. Thank you.
Talk with you next week.